In the next 15 minutes, I'm going to give you the 5 steps on how to teach your dog not to bite with compassion. Here are the 5 steps I'm going to teach you. 1, you're going to learn to look around. I will explain how the need to bite often comes from what is around your dog and how to identify those influences. 2, color code it. I'm going to show you a simple 4-colored method to understand your dog's behaviors clearly. 3, speak with your dog. But there's more than speaking at your dog. It's a real dialogue. 4, deepen that dialogue, especially when your dog needs it most, just before the bite could happen. And 5, we're going to be building on all the other steps, and you'll help your dog develop courage, because most dogs who bite are really just afraid. Step 1. First, we're going to look around. The need to bite often does not begin inside the dog. It begins with the world around them. But that world is made up of many layers, all pressing in at once and creating such stress on your dog. Think about what surrounds your dog today. Their family, you, the daily rhythms, the emotional atmosphere in the home, right? Professionals, vets, walkers, trainers, groomers, behaviorists, who can build trust or break it. Their community, noises, other animals, people rushing past, dogs rushing past. Society's attitude towards dogs, whether they're respected or feared. The rules they live under, like local laws, bylaws, leash rules, breed restrictions. Even the environment, weather, smells, seasonal changes, traffic sounds. So you see, it's not just about the background details. Each one acts like a thread pulling on your dog's nervous system. Your task is to gently map what is happening around your dog. Which parts of their world feel predictable and safe? Which parts feel unpredictable, noisy, and confusing? So start where you can. Make the home an environment that is steady and calming. Reduce chaotic outings. Give your dog a physical space they can retreat to without interruption. When the system around a dog becomes quieter, clearer, and kinder, the dog no longer feels the need to protect themselves with their teeth. The dog can start to shift and feel the need to protect themselves with their teeth is lessening, and we need to start there. So, step 1, look around. 2, color code the behavior. One of the most helpful ways to understand your dog's risk for biting is to notice which color they are living in throughout the day. We use 4 simple colors. Green for safety, engagement, relaxation, all those good things. White for hesitation, thinking, pausing, choosing. It's that hesitation, that uncertainty. Very powerful moment there. Red for active stress, when they're responding to a threat. Worry, alertness, frustration, quick reactions, and struggling to settle. And blue for shutdown, freezing, withdrawing. That's when they go and hide. They crouch down low. This is really emotional collapse. Now, most bites do not come out of nowhere. They are usually rooted in the red pathway, where they're responding to a threat. Even if that threat doesn't make sense to us, it's very real to them. Where the dog is tense, hyper alert, trying to manage their world, but feeling trapped or pressured. Red is not bad. It's natural. It is the system that prepares the dog to respond to threats or to work to protect themselves and others. But if a dog spends too much time in red without relief, biting becomes one of the ways they try to defend their safety. Throughout the day, try this. Quietly observe. When is your dog in green? That engagement, that connection, that playfulness. And when do they shift to white? That level of uncertainty, that moment of flux, that time when they're trying to make a decision. And when do you see red patterns? Pacing, quick movements, tense postures, pinned ears, snarling, and excessive barking. And when, if ever, do they fall into blue, which is very serious, which is where they hide, where they shut down? The more you notice red and blue early, the more opportunities you will have to step in before biting ever feels like the only solution for the dog. Now, if you're finding this so far helpful, please do give this video a like. It tells me you want more compassionate, evidence-based insights, and it helps others find this too. Okay, let's move on to step number 3. Speak with your dog, not at your dog. Dialogue with your dog begins with connection. It must happen when your dog is feeling safe enough to listen, when they're in the green or white states. Here's a simple way to start. Watch how a smile lands. Smile gently at your dog. A soft face, relaxed body, and observe. Does your dog soften? Wag their tail? Approach you? Then try using phrases, and better yet, full sentences, not just one word commands. So instead of sit, say, hey, can you sit for me? Speak as though you are making a polite request, not giving an order. For example, some would say, come. But you could say, would you like to come over here with me? You know, dialogue is beginning when your dog responds to you by coming closer to you, offering soft eye contact or a smile back, giving you a menu of options. If they don't understand, they might sit and then lie down and then roll over and give you their belly. Always a showing, I'm here, I'm trying, I'm connected. All of those are lovely. And what it shows you is that they don't quite understand what, but they're certainly giving it a good shot, right? Another beautiful way to build this dialogue is through questions. Link to activities your dogs enjoy. For example, smiling warmly, tilt your head slightly, jiggle your car keys and say, would you like to go in the car? If your dog lights up, wags, spins, or runs to the door, that is their side of the conversation, a heartfelt yes. And here's the most important part. Once your dog answers you, you must follow through. If they say yes with their body and heart, and you then honor it, you're building a foundation of trust, a foundation where words and gestures and smiles and actions all mean something dependable. This is the start of a true dialogue, and it will be the lifeline you need when your dog faces moments of pressure or uncertainty. 4, deepen the dialogue, especially when it's needed the most. You'll find over time that it's easier to connect when everything is calm because your dog will be calm. But the true test comes when they are shifting into stress, when they begin to move into the red or blue states. This is when you use the communication you have built. You use the gentle cues you've established in calm moments, your smile, your soft voice, your slow movements, right? Remove any sensory echoes, meaning loud noises, flashing lights, sudden movements, things you found on the outside, in those systems that support the reason for biting, and that keeps the nervous system on high alert. When you deepen the dialogue during stress, you are offering your dog a new tool besides biting. You're showing them, I see you. I hear you. You are not alone. Each time you catch that moment, the early signs of tension, and respond with calm and gentle dialogue, you help your dog build a bridge to safety without needing to protect themselves with their teeth. Okay, now on to step 5, the final step that you need to do now that you've done these step 1 through 4. You're going to build courage. You're going to take all these steps, and now you're going to take the dog up to the next level. True confidence in a dog is not built by pressure or correction. It's built by helping them, guiding them to succeed in small ways every day. This is where sensory positive experiences and balance exercise, we call SPEEBY because of the acronym, this is where it comes in. We create structured, manageable experiences where the dog can explore safely. Walking on different surfaces, exploring new smells, learning new routines with support, not force. When dogs succeed in these small tasks, their brain records it. It records, I can do this. I can try new things. I'm not powerless. Bit by bit, the dog's inner world changes. And a courageous dog no longer needs to use biting as their first or only tool. So here's my closing thoughts on this. These are 5 compassionate steps. They work because they honor your dog's whole experience, both outside and inside. I've seen them work on the most challenging cases with committed caregivers willing to put aside their understanding of safety, looking through the lens of the dog, and taking accountability to make changes in the way that they approach the dog and the way that they work through these 5 steps. I would love to know what colors do you think your dog spends most of the day in. Please let me know in the comments. Please also make sure that you subscribe if you like this channel. If you can like this video, I'll know. Leave me your comments. Ask questions. I'm happy to help. Thanks so much. Bye for now. Thank you.